Well, hello everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Well, if you have a question or something you'd like to talk about, give us a call. 844-322-2742 is a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. It is Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Thanks, Bob. We talked about yesterday the fact of pressing on to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, that we have to forget about the past, leave the past behind, and move forward. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
There's, you know, a lot of people out there struggling with that, trying to figure out, how in the world do I press on? How do I keep moving forward? Well, there's a lot of things that can hold us back, and three things that I think hold people back as far as their Christian life is concerned, as far as their experience of God's freedom to the full is concerned, and those three are this: fear of the unknown. I mean, think about it. When we were saved, I mean, we were rescued from an entirely different realm, an entirely different way of life than the one that we now have in Christ Jesus. We were dead, spiritually dead in our transgressions and sins. We followed the ways of this world. We lived to gratify the desires of the flesh. We were enslaved to sin. Sin was our master. We were under the condemnation of sin and death. That was our old way of life. And that's how we lived from the time we were born until the time we were born again. Mm-hmm. Well, once we're born again, we're born again of the Spirit. That's a spiritual rebirth. We're made alive spiritually. And we have this new identity. We're a new creation. But we're housed in this old body of flesh. And a lot of that old is still imprinted, indelibly imprinted in, you know, our memories, in, you know, our just this flesh of ours. And so that flesh continually tugs us back and tries to move our eyes away from Christ and back to the old way of life. And we start to think, hey, I was pretty happy back there. I was doing okay, and I'm not sure what life is going to look like for me moving ahead. So we get fearful of this unknown, and every step that we take with Jesus Christ is a step into the unknown, isn't it? Well, you know, faith is a mystery to us. You know, before faith came, we were prisoners to the law of sin and death, and then Christ showed up. Well, faith is only meaningful in terms of Christ. So how do we learn to live by faith in Jesus? We're not sure about that. So our trust in him has to be deepened. And that becomes deeper as we grow more and more in our understanding of his love for us. So as we figure out that he really does love us, then we're more apt to trust him.
Yeah.
But that takes time. So we're not so sure. So there's this fear of the unknown. There's also the opinions of others that matter to us. That's what was important to us before we came to Christ, and that carries over in many respects. We are interested in what other people think about us, and it's those opinions that are out there that stop us dead in our tracks. I mean, I don't want to be thought of as some religious fanatic, a Jesus freak. I don't want to be ostracized because of my faith in Christ. So a lot of times we try to listen to the opinions of others and somehow mix it with my new life in Christ. And boy, I just don't experience the fullness of the freedom that I have in Christ. And then the third thing is that, you know, those memories of the world and the world in which we live, it comes at us with glitz and glamour. And so we start to think, well, maybe there's something better out there in the world. And so instead of just diving in to this new life that we have in Christ, we hold out. We're kind of on the fence, just in case something might come along. So we have a lot of, quote, non-committal Christians. I was Mr. Non-Committal. as far as social things were concerned. Somebody would say, hey, do you want to do this on Friday night? Well, yeah, maybe. And I said maybe because I thought maybe something better might come along. And that's how we are sometimes with this relationship with Christ. We think maybe something better might come along. So those are three things that can rob us of the full experience of our freedom in Christ Jesus. Are you experiencing any of those three obstacles? If so, let's talk about it on today's broadcast. Richard, weigh in on what we're talking about here.
Well, this fear of the unknown was a killer for me. I'd spent so much time being a perfectionist and failing miserably at it that when I was offered freedom in Christ, I had no idea what that meant. And so I figured, you know, you're supposed to ask about these sorts of things. And so I said, okay, Lord, what is this freedom all about? How am I supposed to live? What am I supposed to do? Where is this going? And then I'd wait for 2 or 3 milliseconds, and he didn't answer. And I would get angry and say, well, if you want me, you're going to have to talk to me.
Yeah, come on.
And, you know, I figured out later on that he was standing there the whole time saying, well, if you just close your mouth, you'd be able to hear me talking to you.
Quick but, to hear.
Better. Yeah.
Slow to speak. Slow to anger.
But, you know, it does take time. And you've got to get over the fear of failure. And that was what was driving my old life in perfectionism, was the fear of failure. I'd rather not do something than to perhaps do it wrong. Well, I brought that right into my relationship with Jesus. Wow, if I don't get this thing, this faith thing right the first time, then it's all over. And it's not. It takes time to learn that we really are forgiven people, that there really is no condemnation, that we have been declared righteous. That's not stuff that just comes along for the ride and you go, well, obviously. It took me time and patience, not only my own patience, but clearly the patience of God, but the patience of good friends, of family, of mentors in Christ. If I hadn't had that, if I hadn't had the fellowship of other believers, I don't know what I'd done.
Yeah, definitely. And this fear that we bring to the table, you know, that just over time just slowly melts away because of this truth that Christ is always with us. And that's the very thing that has to move us forward. That is the compelling truth that enables us to take a step into that new life that we have in Christ. Jesus is never going to leave us nor forsake us. So allow that presence, his presence in you through the Holy Spirit, enable you to experience the freedom that he has provided for you in Christ Jesus.
Indeed. Well, helping people hear, believe, and live this good news of Jesus Christ, separating grace from law, that's a primary focus here at Basic Gospel. And to help everyone understand this vital issue, in addition to this radio program, well, Bob and Richard have worked together on a new series called Law and Grace. It's 5 messages on 2 CDs, and with your gift to Basic Gospel as our way of saying thanks, this month we're going to send you a copy of it. To make your gift, you can donate at basicgospel.net. You can donate by phone at 844-322-2742. Use the Basic Gospel app, and in Canada at basicgospel.net/Canada. Also, across border, you can use PayPal. Your gift will help us continue to proclaim this good news, this message of freedom and love and liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ, helping others to walk in this new covenant life. And remember, as you make your July gift to Basic Gospel, look for your copy of Law and Grace. I know you're going to love it. Well, guys, we had this call that came in. Let me give you the phone number before we go to it, 844-322-2742. Plenty of time on the clock, and we would love to hear from you, have you be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel, 844-322-2742.
Hi. Just wanted more clarification on John 6:65, where it talks about no one can come to Jesus unless the Father draws them. Just wanted a little more clarification on that. Thank you.
Well, that's a great question, and it's a question that really gets down to the sovereignty of God versus the free will of man. That's why we ask questions about this particular verse. Is it saying that God has predetermined who's going to be saved and who isn't going to be saved, and he supernaturally works on those who are the elect and just discards or just disregards those who are not. And I don't think this passage is really teaching that at all. We read later in the book of John that when Jesus is lifted up, he will draw all men unto himself. That's John 12:32. And so how does God call people? How does God draw people to himself? Well, through Jesus. Well, Jesus is that lightning rod, isn't he?
Yeah.
And, you know, you had Judas that was following Jesus, was one of the disciples, and yet he wasn't interested in Jesus at all. He was interested in using Jesus for his own personal gain, and in the end betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. And so in the context, that's who he's really talking about, this Judas Iscariot. So he says, after this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So he had fed 5,000, and boy, they were so happy, so excited that this Jesus could miraculously feed them. And so they wanted to follow him even more in case he decides, you know, hey, what about a steak meal for everybody? What about chicken fajitas? And boom, there it is. And these folks were very interested. And Jesus said, you know, I did that because I had compassion on you. I knew you were hungry, but I also did it to show you that I am much more than just a miracle worker. I am the bread of life, and he who eats of me will never hunger again. So he's talking about something much, much deeper, much higher than just physical food.
Yeah.
And so as he's talking about this, these became very hard words for the people to buy into, to understand. And so many of them walked away. And so he's saying, you know, to his disciples, well, what about you? And Peter said, well, where else are we going to go? Who has the words of eternal life? And so the lightning rod, the linchpin, is Jesus. So how we respond to Jesus is we're either going to be repelled by him because of our own pride, or we're going to be drawn to him because of the humility that God has worked into our lives. So how does God the Father draw us unto himself? Through Jesus Christ the Son.
Yeah.
And as Jesus Christ is lifted up, then anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So that's what this passage is all about. Richard, any thoughts here?
I love earlier in this chapter, because this is one of those turning point chapters in the Bible. You go through John 6, and you're confronted. You have to accept Jesus for who he is, or you have to reject him because you don't like who he is. But when he's talking to the people and he says, you know, you're seeking me not because you saw signs, and you did see them. Right? He just fed 5,000 of them, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Don't work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life. And, you know, well, then they ask him, what works should we be doing to be doing the works of God? And he said, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So they said, what sign will you do that we may see and believe? There it is. I mean, they had just the day before been fed. Most of the people standing there had been part of that crowd. They'd seen that sign. They come running over to the other side. He says something a little difficult, and they say, what should we do? He says, believe on me. Well, then prove it. What kind of a sign are you going to show us? And right there you see the unbelief. And he just continues on through, as you just described, that he's the bread of life. And that, yeah, you have to read this in its entirety, in its context, and see what he was dealing with in the unbelief of these people. Was he blaming them? No, all of us come into this life as unbelievers. But when Jesus confronts him with himself, we've got to make that choice. Is he who he claims to be, or is he not? There's no middle ground.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. I'm Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us, everybody. We have open lines right now. If you would like to join us and pose a question, give us a call 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. And remember, a very special offer for Bob's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Only $10, and we pay the shipping. If you'd like to get a copy, you can find one at our website, basicgospel.net. There's a prominent link right on the homepage, or you can call your order to 844-322-2742. Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, how the Christian life really should work. Well, guys, we had a question, a very interesting question from Jennifer. She says, in the marriage series broadcast, you and Richard were talking about submitting to one another. You commented that to a lost person, submission is an absurd idea. I don't know if my husband, she says, is lost or safe, but over the last 18 years, I have recognized this attitude in him many times, but it wasn't until I heard you articulate it in such a precise way that the root of it became crystal clear to me. We have been to counselors, read books, participated in seminars, and I have personally told him what I need as a wife, the same things you have been talking about. Apart from a miracle of God, I don't believe he will change. So my question to you is, how do I live in peace with him? I am tired of the struggle. Please help. That's from Jennifer, who wrote to us through email.
Well, part of the struggle in something like that is you're not getting what you need from your husband, and so you're trying to work hard in order to change him so that you can get what you need from your husband. Well, that's never going to work.
No.
It's never going to happen.
Whether he's a believer or not,
that's
going to work.
That's exactly right. You cannot change your mate. And so many people go into marriage thinking, you know, I really like him. I know there's a lot that needs to be improved. There's lots to be that needs to be changed. And I'm going to do that. I mean, once we say I do, I'm gonna start that remodeling project. Well, it's never going to work. Now, here's what the Bible says when it speaks to wives. It says this is what you're to do. You're to submit to your husband, or you're to respect your husband as to the Lord. So, what are you supposed to do in your marriage? Well, you're to submit to your husband. Now, that doesn't mean you're a doormat. That doesn't mean that you're submitting to one that's superior to you. That's not what that submission is all about. That's just your way of showing him that you love and care for him as your husband. And you can be creative in how you do that. So I tell husbands and wives, if you're a husband, become a student of your wife. If you're a wife, become a student of your husband. Get to know what they're really like. Get to know what they don't like, what motivates them, all the things about him. You only have one person to become a student of as far as another human being, and that's your mate. And as you grow in your knowledge of this person, as you understand him more, what makes him tick, then you can depend upon the Lord to give you creative ways to love and respect him. And that's what submission is all about. What does he need in a marriage? Well, you can say to him a million times that you love him, and then he'll always come back and say, but do you respect me? Do you respect me? I know when I cut the grass, all I want to hear from Gina is, boy, the grass looks good.
Smells good.
It just, what is that? Well, that's just saying, I respect what you're doing. I respect you as a person. I respect you as my husband. And I think the world of you for what you do for this family and how you're here with this family. That means a lot to a husband. So think of creative ways to love your husband in that respect. And you're just going to have to trust the Lord. I mean, it gets down to that. We're going to have to trust the Lord in him working in your husband's life. If he's not saved, pray fervently for his salvation. Just pray and pray and pray. And when you have opportunity to pass on information to him, either in conversation or resources that might be of benefit to him, do so. And leave the results of that in God's hands. Where we always mess up is trying to generate the results through human effort. Yeah. We see story after story after story in the Bible of how people who tried to produce results through human effort just made a big, huge mess of their situation.
Yeah. Well, remember where we started with the marriage series, and that is we were created to find certain things in Jesus alone, in God alone, through Christ and the Holy Spirit, the whole Godhead. Those things are unconditional love and acceptance. We can't give those things to each other unless and until we've received them from Jesus. So if you've got a husband who isn't playing ball, so to speak, you must find your sense of identity and purpose and importance in Jesus first, so that you can relax and pull back from the need that you have for your husband to do something or the need that you have for your wife to do something. You must be absolutely convinced of who you are in Christ and how unbreakable that relationship is in order to deal with the slings and arrows of the outrageous fortune that we all experience in our marriages from time to time.
Yeah. So one of the things you might want to do is just take a piece of paper and write down the five things that you most appreciate about your husband, and just give thanks for that. And as you do, I think you will see something start to bubble up inside of you that compels you, that motivates you to find out ways to love him even more.
Yeah. Jennifer, hope you're listening and hope that's a help to you. And if we can help further, don't hesitate to give us a call or drop us an email. You know, the Basic Gospel app is a great way to stay connected with Basic Gospel. And Kim used it to send a question to us. She asks, has God's love for us always been unconditional, or is it just under the new covenant alone?
Well, God never changes. So God is love. I mean, that's his essence. That's his nature. That's his character. That he is love. We see that in the book of 1 John. So it's his love that motivated him to send Jesus. So this plan that was hatched before even the creation of the world was a plan that was dripping with the love of God.
Yeah.
It was the love of God from the very beginning. And so he's always loved us.
If he hadn't, he would have wiped the guy.
That's right. That's exactly right. So he's always loved us, no strings attached.
Yeah.
It's us that changed. It's us that got corrupted by sin. It's us that began to see God in a completely different light. I mean, Adam and Eve knew God was love from the very moment they breathed their first breath. They knew God's love. They experienced God's love. They knew the very character of God. But when sin entered the picture, then they were afraid of God. Why? That's what sin does. It gives us a distorted view of God, so much so that we become hostile toward him, and we put ourselves in a position of an enemy toward God. But God's never been an enemy toward us, and we see that fully demonstrated at the cross, where God demonstrated his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died.
Yeah.
So God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that character, that nature, has always been love and will always be love.
Yeah. Well, Kim, hope that's a help to you as well. And friends, if you have a question, don't forget, you can drop us an email to bob@basicgospel.net, or you can use the app, or the several ways that you can get a question to us. We'd love to hear from you. And friends, remember, Basic Gospel is a listener-supported ministry, and if what you hear on this broadcast every day has meaning to you, keep that in mind. We need to keep the good news coming, and you can join us by making a donation online at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742 or at basicgospel.net. You can donate through the Basic Gospel app or with PayPal. And in Canada, you can use basicgospel.net/Canada. Just remember that your gifts are indeed vital. And when you give this month, you'll receive our new 5-message CD series, Law and Grace, as our way of saying thank you for your love and your support of the message you hear every day on Basic Gospel. We look forward to hearing from you. And if you have a question, as I said, about anything you've heard or would like to hear on Basic Gospel, well, give us a call and give us that question at 844-322-2742 anytime, day or night. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, and all the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be here again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.